Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans in the noon hour, I'm hoping. Press conferences don't seem to be too big of a priority around here. Stephon Diggs, hey, stay on Instagram. We're not going to introduce you to the people. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, we're not going to hear anything about Stephon Diggs for 2 weeks. So we're supposed to hear from D'Amico in a second. We'll see.
Sean asked us in the crosstalk if we thought Stephon Diggs was going to be there.
I don't know.
I hadn't even considered that. Like, what if he's there and he doesn't talk or they don't make him available to the media? What are they
doing?
What
if he just pop up?
What if he just pop up? He just crashes the press conference. It's like, yo.
Maybe he crashed when CJ there or something.
This, I don't know.
This CJ, yeah, that's my brother.
I'm going to be honest, man. I know that CJ is the, you know, the main topic. He's the quarterback and you should never do this. But I would just, like, turn my microphone around. Be like, all right, we've heard from CJ 50-11 times over the year. I mean, Stephon Diggs, first time as a Texan, you know? And what would they be hiding? That's the odd part about it.
It's excitement?
Like, and I don't think that they're hiding anything, but the fact that they haven't done it makes it plausible to even ask the question. Be like, hey, what are they hiding? Why is this guy not running center at this point?
So we'll hear D'Amico in a second. They got the feed coming into us now, so we got the technology set up. So we'll hear from D'Amico shortly. It'll be the first public words that the Texans organization has said about Stephon Diggs. And we'll hear from C.J. Stroud as well, who's been working out with Diggs a little bit. Is he his brother, though? That's the question.
Yeah.
Is he going to get the brother description?
So I have thought about this.
Here we go. I think D'Amico's making his way up there.
Let's make it happen.
Live. Let's go to NRG. Let's hear from the head coach of the Texans.
Having the guys back in the building, and we're excited with the team that we're building. And I say building as we continue to build our team. We know we have the draft coming up, but we're excited about the offseason acquisitions that we've added. I feel like we've added a lot of good playmakers to our team, guys who have experience, have done it other places and done it well at other places. So we're excited about all the guys that we've added.
When it comes to Nick specifically, what does he add to your team, and what can he do to help CJ as he continues to develop?
Yeah, with Diggs, adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, well respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. And, you know, when you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
Down there, How did the first thought, the discussions, how did that come about? Like, how was the idea to possibly get on Diggs born? How did that come about?
Well, with the discussions of players adding to our team, there are many discussions of many players and many different angles to take. So I won't go into all the details on, you know, all the discussions there.
Because, you know, last season he started out really hot, and then down the stretch he didn't eclipse over 100 yards. What made you guys comfortable that what he started off with in 2023 was more of who he is versus what he kind of put production-wise down the stretch?
Yeah, again, when we watch the tape on Stephon and the playmaker that he is, right, we always go back to the tape and we look at a player in totality. We don't look at, you know, this amount of weeks or that. Those weeks, we look at the entire season. We look at the guy's entire career and what he's done, how he's been productive. The guy's been an all-pro player. He's been a Pro Bowl player, over 1,000 yards for multiple seasons. So we're excited about adding Diggs to our team.
One player that you know quite well that joins the team is Azeez. Can you talk about where you saw him grow last season when he was away from your defense and what he brings to your defense, what you saw in San Francisco?
By adding Azeez to our team, what you guys see, we're getting a tenacious player, a guy who plays with relentless passion, energy, physical. The thing with Azeez that stood out for me last year was his first time really getting an opportunity to play full-time as a starter. And you know, he had been in a backup role, and we were there in San Francisco for a while, and he showed that he was capable of running the show and showed that he was able to stay healthy throughout the entire year. So he was durable, he was a playmaker, he was physical, he was the leader of that defense. So excited to add, you know, not only Azeez as a player, but Azeez the leader. And I think he's grown as a leader, and I'm excited to work with him again.
Coach, continue in that vein. You sort of made a radical change to your front seven from last year to this year. Thought process going in there, and what were y'all looking at? What are y'all looking to expound on and really move forward with?
When we've added different guys to our team, of course, we had a lot of free agents last year. When you look at our team last year, with a lot of guys who were on one-year deals or the last year of their contract here. So teams change every year. Not something you're looking to do, change your team completely every year, but the teams change, you know, guys change, contracts are up, and we have to make certain moves. But I'm excited about the guys that we've added to our front. I feel like the front for us, offensively and defensively, like the front is the two most important pieces to how we operate as a team. And we want to be dominant up front on the offensive line and the defensive line. And you know, we've added guys to that defensive line. I feel like that can help us continue to be a dominant force and help our team and help our defense to play great football.
You all did add a lot this offseason.
D'Amico Ryan's live right here on Sports Radio 610.
And especially a player like Kenyon Green who missed out on the whole season coming back.
Right. And you have guys who've missed time. You talk about Titus, you talk about Kenyon. Those are two guys we feel really good about up front for us. You know, we talk about our line being a strong suit for our team, and getting those guys back healthy will only add to our group, only add to what we're able to do up front. So I'm excited to see Titus back healthy, excited to see Kenyon, right, competing healthy and to give himself the best shot to go out and show what he's capable of. So I don't think he's had that opportunity fully, so I'm excited to see Kenyon perform. He's been working out. He's been consistent every day. He's been putting the work in throughout the offseason. So excited for him.
Coach, how much did all of the offseason acquisitions you guys have on both sides of the ball kind of like change the idea of how you guys are going to approach the draft?
When you look at the draft and how we approach it the same, right? We go through, evaluate all the positions and try to have a good feel for the guys that we would like to add to our team. And like, we don't, just because we've added guys at a lot of different positions, that doesn't stop us from evaluating every position and looking at every avenue to continue to upgrade our team and continue to get our team better. So for the draft process, our process will be exactly the same. Who can we add to our team that adds value to our locker room, adds value to us on the field?
Coach, Last year you guys were hunting. Now this year, especially with what you guys did last year and the moves that you guys have made, now you guys are going to be the hunted. What's kind of that? How do you go about that expectation now that people will expect you guys to kind of be in a Super Bowl hunt, things of that nature? How do you guys go about the new heightened expectations?
I appreciate the question, but we're always hunting. That doesn't change for us. We're always hunting. Expectations on the outside, whatever that may be, it really doesn't change who we are, right? It doesn't. The expectations from outside don't permeate inside our building, and now we have to change what we're doing just because of outside expectations. It really doesn't matter, all right? My message, our focus as a team is, it's always been consistent, the same as it was last year, is, man, you show up and we continue to get better every single day. You're the best at your position, you're the best for our team, then that's what win games, right? For us, when everybody is really striving, put in the work in, right, to be better. And that's what it's all about. We don't care about expectations. Talk doesn't win games. We have to go out and play good football when that time comes.
Success. Over the years, the NFL has changed their offseason programs with different elements. Could you talk about how the offseason program is for 2024 and if at all it changes having the Hall of Fame game being the first preseason game?
Yeah, offseason will go about it the same as we've been. The offseason, as we start out our phase one, right, it's all about, we have a lot of new players, different new coaches, so it's about our coaches and players connecting. That's the first and foremost thing for me. It's players and coaches being able to connect. So our coaches did studies on our players to help them to find areas in their game where they can get better. And that second phase and the third phase, we'll go out on the field and be able to work with our players and try to help them master the techniques and fundamentals that we've been coaching and teaching in the meeting room. So the offseason hasn't changed over the years. It's all about perfecting your fundamentals and your techniques, and that gives you an opportunity when you show back up at training camp. That gives you opportunity to compete at your highest level.
So you're going to success starts up front for you. When you turn on the tape, you're looking at specifically defensive tackles. What are you looking for at that position?
With our defensive tackles position, what we're looking for, we play in an attack style front, and we want guys who can attack. We want guys, you can do that no matter the size, right? You talk about, is there a certain size you're looking for? I've seen guys do it at 280, 290, seen guys do it at 315. So there's a different range for different types of players. It's all about our guys just being explosive up front and being able to do what we're asking them to do.
Nico, given the success that you all had with Tank and Nico specifically, why did you all feel like it was important to add more elite weapons at wide receiver?
I don't think it hurts to add a lot of playmakers to your team. So as many guys as you can add, we're trying to add as many playmakers as we can, offensively, defensively, right? We're trying to build the best team for 2024. And that's what myself and Nick, that's what our job is, to add the right pieces, acquire the right players to have us go out and be our best in 2024.
After what CJ did last year, all of his accolades and everything, what's one way where you really think he can improve in year two?
Yeah, with CJ, we're very proud of his success in his first year. I mean, he came in and probably shocked a lot of people with how he played, and he played at a very high level. He continued to progress and get better throughout the entire year. So we're very excited about what he was able to do. Now, can he pick up where he left from, right? As he finished the year off, he had a strong year, but as a player, you always are your toughest critic. Can he continue to master the same thing I talked about, those techniques and fundamentals? Can he master those things to continue to lead our team in the way that he's done it? Excited to be able to work with him for another year. I think for all of our younger players, especially the rookies last year, that year one to year two, that's where you see the biggest jump, or I've seen in my career. And the guys have a true offseason to dedicate, right, and focus on themselves and them getting better. They don't have to worry about combine or draft prep. They can truly work on the things that we've asked them to do. And I think it's also a plus for him by having Coach Sloat, Coach Gerard, having them back, and we're still doing our same scheme, right, same system. So he's already a step ahead of where he started last year. So I'm excited to see his growth from year one to year two.
You
talk about continuity in there at that defensive tackle position. On defense, almost half of your outside free agent ads came at that D tackle position. Outside of Rankins and Collins leaving, what led to that, do you mean?
When it comes to free agency, then acquisitions, there's a lot of things that go on, like behind the scenes, that a lot of people would have no idea, you know, how this happened. How did you move on from this player? How did you acquire this player? A lot of things happen, but at the end of the day, I feel like me and Nick made the best decisions for our team to add quality players to our team, and we feel that can help us.
How excited are you about the new uniforms, Coach?
I'm fired up about the new uniforms. It's it's 2024, time for a fresh look for the Texans. I know we've had the same uniforms, all right, since our organization started here in 2002. I was messing with the guys earlier about, yeah, I wore the same uniform that they were wearing, and I think it's time for an update. And credit to Doug, Cal, Hannah, all the work and time that went into coming out with the new look. I think our fans will be excited about it. I think the coolest part about the new uniforms, as you guys all know, is having our fans input into the look of our new uniform. I thought that was pretty cool, pretty unique by our organization, being able to talk to our fans and get a true feel for what our fans wanted to see. And of course, our players are fired up about the new look. So it'll be exciting reveal for next week for everyone.
When it came to conversations with free agents, how were they different this offseason compared to your first season when you were trying to, you know, catch some ground?
Yeah, free agency for me, it doesn't change, right? It's always you're trying to find the right fit, not only player fitting us, but for that player, do we actually fit what you're about? And so it's always trying to find that call it that marriage of player and organization, and just go through guys and trying to find out what's important for those guys, right? What's their why? What makes them tick? And trying to see if they're ready to hunt with the Texans. And so it's we've add a lot of guys who really love football. That's the one thing for me where I want to add guys to our team. How passionate are they about football? How excited are they about going out and working and getting better every day?
Now that you guys have started an off-season program, in regards to Tank, has he been participating? Is he going to be ready by training camp? What's kind of the timeline in regards to Tank being back?
Yeah. Thanks. With Tank, man, Tank is back. He's starting to get in with our guys here at the off-season program, so excited to have Tank back. You know, that was a devastating loss for us last year, losing him. He's such a dynamic player for us, such an inspiration for myself, for a lot of our team. So I'm excited to see Tank back working with our guys and excited to see him make that same jump that I talked about year one and year two.
As a Ram, how so adjusting with the new addition? How are y'all just – I mean, you didn't make changes here. Y'all had changes at the house. How's that going?
Oh, thank you for that question. My wife is doing an outstanding job with the transition of our newborn baby girl. So it's fun. 2 month old now, so it's always exciting, always changing. But it's fun, and thankful for my wife for all the tireless work that she puts in to allow me to get some sleep while she watches the baby.
Hey, D'Amico, can you talk about what do you have to guard against with the young players going from year one to year two? I mean, there's a lot to build on, but what are the things you have to kind of make sure that go the other way?
The biggest thing, I think, Kim, from year one to year two is you have to watch guys who've had a lot of success, right? Guys, you can't fall into a trap of that you've made it, right? Just because you have success in year one, that doesn't garner that you're going to instantly have success in year two. Right, you still have to put in even more work, right? Because now you have a year worth of tendencies on tape. Other teams around the league are watching you. They're kind of honing in on what you do well. So how are you going to attack your offseason and truly focus on improving your craft and being better than you were in year one? Guys can't, you know, you can't fall asleep to, oh, I did it 1 year, it's easy. And you relax your second year. That's the biggest thing I've seen where guys kind of have that drop in their second years where they relax and they think they have that I made it moment. Nobody's ever made it. You continue to put the work in, you dive in even harder because you've had success.
Last season for Derek Stingley Jr.,
What do you see from him in terms of continuing to build on what he did at the end of last season when he was excelling, and just your hopes for him this year?
Yeah, for Derek and what I look out of him, look for him this year. I mean, I look for him to continue to make strides in his game. He's come along really well. 5 interceptions last year, played really well for us. When you talk about attacking the ball, really shutting down one side of the field, it was impressive to see him grow as a player, coming back off the injury and just seeing the way he worked and the way he got after it. He was a guy that teams started to go away from. So it's whenever you have a corner who can operate in that manner, right, it's only a plus for us, and I see Derek continuing to get better this year as well.
It's D'Amico Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
C.J. Stroud, most likely in the noon hour as well. So keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. We'll react to what D'Amico had to say. Some pretty interesting stuff. And we'll also hear from C.J. Stroud coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, we're going to hear from C.J. Stroud shortly. But in the meantime, lunchtime confessions. We confess our sins to you, the Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Some of these confessions have to do with sports. Some have nothing to do with sports. We're transparent with you 24/7. Let it hang a little bit lower during lunchtime confessions. It is time to confess. Watch this. These are my confessions. I got to tell you, man, I saw this... this video the Texans put up celebrating the culture, the uniforms, all that stuff. It's got the internet going nuts. In the middle of the montage of the city, they put some chicken wings and fries up. I'm not sure where these chicken wings and fries are from. Maybe it's because I'm on a cleanse. But I'm really intrigued by these chicken wings. So could someone over there at NRG, if you're listening to this, could you please tell me where I can... purchase these chicken wings that you threw up in the middle of everything, the slabs and the Tejano music and all that. Where can I get these chicken wings? Got to confess, I'm intrigued.
They want to remind everybody that you can get good food in Houston. Like we all obviously know this, but they were trying to reflect the culture of the city. And part of the culture of the city is not just chicken wings, but damn good food. So
did they show some barbecue?
Oh, that would have been...
Yeah, that would have been made more sense.
That would have been prime
barbecue tacos.
That would have been prime pandering.
That's what I'd have gone with.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
You mentioned earlier in the show about having the wrong discussion about the Rockets in terms of, hey, which player do you build around, Jalen Green or is it Alperen Şengün? I felt like last week I had the wrong discussion with Ron Hughley on The Drive about who should be inserted into the lineup and who should come out of it. He wants Mauricio Dubon to play for Jake Meyers, but the reality is them two dudes basically played just about the same amount of time. What was clear to me over watching over the weekend is that they should be playing both catchers. Just like we were saying last year when they needed to replace Jose Abreu, which I still think we're on Jose Abreu watch. He's on borrowed time at this point. But I would not be opposed to watching the Astros with Victor Caratini catching every day and Yonier Diaz at first base if it meant that we could put Jose Abreu on the bench. I think they should consider it. Play both catchers.
Okay, so you want to put Diaz at first? Okay.
It's that desperate. I don't want to do it, but I feel like something's got to be done because, as we talked about before, the Astros need to rake. And, look, your first baseman – is supposed to hit. Like, he ain't got to be Jeff Bagwell per se, but he can't be this.
So the backup catcher is a better option than Jose Abreu at first base at this point.
He is a better option in the lineup, and depending on which one of them two dudes plays first base better, I don't care which one of them it is. Like, they're both obviously catchers. Whichever one of them can play first base better, I'd like to see him over there above one Jose Abreu. And Caratini can hit from both sides. Watch this.
I think CJ is going to use the B word when we hear him. I think the word brother's coming out with Stephon Diggs. I think Diggs is already in the group. I think you heard D'Amico. D'Amico was kind of just straight to the. It was real bland with the Diggs promotion and hype. I think CJ is going to hit it out the park. I think he's going to get you excited about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, man. Brother and brotherhood is just. For me, translation, all CJ saying is teammates. He seems to be pretty clearly using brother synonymous with teammate, so it wouldn't shock me at all. As a matter of fact, we've played it up enough now to where it would surprise me if he didn't refer to him as a brother. And like you said, man, does that foreshadow bad things to come?
Perhaps.
Nah.
Perhaps.
They'll be good.
Or
they,
not.
They brothers already. Watch this. These uniforms, man, I am starting to get really annoyed with the push. I feel like I was all the way with it in the beginning, but once they clearly botched the rollout over the last month or so or whatever it's been, when the picture got leaked and Cal had to go on Reddit and do his whole thing, it lost a little luster to me. I feel like the Texans would be better served if they kind of stepped back instead of leaning into it. We know that D'Amico just talked about how much community involvement there's been. We know everything about that already. We know the process. They've been transparent about it. At this point, just drop the unis, man. I'm starting to lose my patience with all of the rollout.
Well, you got another week. I think they've had 4 videos today about it. I'm intrigued. I want to hear what the people have to say about it. They said that their uniforms were inspired by 4 factors in the feedback: traditional and classic, traditional but modernized, bold bull, and H-Town and tough. So that was their 4 goals from the focus groups that they went with.
And we'll see what they came up with, what they think accomplishes those goals. Watch this.
I think that the question about the Rockets is, it's along the right lines, but I don't think the right guy is getting focused on. I think that the future of this team and any tough decisions that they may or may not make is going to depend on who fits in with Amen Thompson. We've talked about Jalen Green, Shingun. Can they mesh? They both played elite caliber ball at different points. Green later in the season, Shingun early in the season. I think the right question when it comes to figuring this out is going to be, who fits in best with Amen Thompson?
Yeah, I think Amen Thompson, his rookie year was the most pleasant surprise that the Rockets got. Like, I think they had high hopes for him, but I would say he definitely exceeded their expectations, certainly exceeded mine. I think the issue with this point that you're making, and this is just an issue for the Rockets to kind of deal with, they got 3 guys that could be a franchise player, franchise cornerstone, however you want to look at it, between Shingun, Jalen Green, and Amen Thompson, and they don't have a reliable outside shooter among them. So, like, what do you do when you've got 3 players that you're trying to evaluate as a potential franchise player and can't none of them shoot consistently? At least one, if not all of them, are going to have to develop a consistent outside shot. Like, it's just not going to work, or there's just going to be a ceiling on it. So I'm a little bit more worried about that. No matter which one of these guys they lean into, can you shoot? Like, can you do this basic function in modern NBA basketball? Like, that is my main concern. Watch this. These are my confessions. I felt Hannah McNair's pain when she was talking to Jason Bristol about the Astrodome. Like,
she had no comment.
She is probably at this point, if I had to guess, so exhausted by it that if she did go off, like it would have taken over the interview, or like I could understand being so frustrated and exhausted by this Astrodome situation to where you don't even want to entertain it on camera because it'll just get your blood boiling and you might say something that you don't want to say. But for me, man, I'm right there with her. This has been such a failure and crises of leadership that you would have that building up there. That building has been condemned for my daughter's going to high school this year. She's going to go to high school this year. That building was condemned before she was born.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
So like the fact that they would let it sit there long enough to even become condemned in the first place. So we're talking before 2009 is offensive enough. And then you're just going to leave it like that for 15 years. Dude, I mean, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's hoarding, man. It's hoarding. Yankee Stadium got torn down. Texas Stadium got torn down. The memories are still there. It's hoarding. Coming up, let's hear from C.J. Stroud. We heard from D'Amico. What is C.J. Stroud going to say? Is he going to drop the B word when talking about Diggs? Brother, coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's hear from C.J. Stroud. We haven't heard from him. Face of the franchise, C.J. Stroud. 10 days away from the draft. Texans getting some work in. Let's hear from number 7.
I was wondering, what is the very first thought you had when you heard you were going to get to throw to Diggs?
I was very excited. I met him at the Pro Bowl and, you know, just got to meet each other, got to meet his kids and, you know, to see what type of person he was and, you know, just been able to grow our relationship from there. You know, it's really cool just to be able to not only go from that scene to now him being a teammate of mine and just really excited to get to work with him.
Do you think he adds to your team and your offense and what he does for y'all's chances going forward this year?
He adds a ton of value, you know, to that room. There's a lot of a wisdom that he carries that I think he'll spread to the other guys. And, you know, he's been really reaching out to really everybody, you know, and I think that whole room in general is going to be great. I think we're all going to eat off each other. You know, it's going to be very fun and very exciting, you know, just to work with everybody in that room. And I'm very excited for it.
You had a chance to work out. You have had a chance to work out with Tank here. How is he looking?
He looks great. Yeah, you know, he's like you said, man, he's gotten a lot better. Mentally, you know, I think even for both of us, really all the rookies, you know, coming into year two, you know, everything's starting to slow down and the wheels aren't turning so much up in your head. You know, you're starting to play ball and, you know, having a being able to throw with them in L.A. was really big. And, you know, Mitch looks amazing as well. And some of the guys that came out as well. So, you know, it's been amazing to get some work in.
CJ, how did you first find out about the Stephon Diggs trade? And then when you threw with your teammates in L.A., was that the yearly thing that you did last year as well?
I found out I was actually asleep. I've been in the West Coast. I've been back home in L.A., so I was knocked out. And I keep my phone on do not disturb. I get a lot of phone calls. And so I didn't really know, and I woke up and my boy Chase B texts me and he's like, "How you feeling, bro?" And I'm good, fam, how are you? And so like, and then I had sent like 5 texts like that, and then I woke up for real. This time, I was kind of like halfway texting in the bed, woke up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know. And then I seen the news, and I seen it on like Instagram. I'm like, oh shoot, that's what they talking about. So I didn't even tell Chase B or anybody like that. That was what I was
implying, which is really just checking. I thought he was checking up on me, but no, it was cool. You know, it was really fun to see that. And this past, no, I mean, this last year I didn't have the opportunity to go before OTAs and have guys come out. So I'll probably do something again, hopefully after OTAs. But that was just like, hey, man, I'm up here throwing. Like, you guys want to come down? And man, it went great though. Like, Mitch really like looks amazing. He looks really, really all the way back, you know. And then Tank looks great, and so did Diggs and a couple other guys who came out.
It's the second time that you mentioned John Metchie. From what you've seen so far, what type of impact do you think he'd be able to have on this offense?
Man, he has a ton of value, a huge impact I think that he'll bring this season. I think last year was good to get his feet back in the water, you know, coming off of an injury, then something so traumatic, like being sick, how he was. And man, his mindset is just, you know, he's ready to come back and ball. So not only is he a great football player, but he's a great person. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else other than those guys in that room. So Mitch is looking amazing. Everything that he'll put on this field will be no surprise. But, you know, I think everybody in his room knows how special he can be, and he'll put that on the field.
CJ, when you break the huddle, you'll have Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. They brought back Dalton Schultz, and you have Bobby Slowick and Draw Johnson on the sidelines. What, in terms of the way it's set up for you, what's the excitement like for you? How do you think it can be possible? How good can this offense be?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I think we have a lot of potential. A ton of guys who played a lot of meaningful ball. A lot of guys who can do different things with the ball, which is amazing. You know, and with all those expectations, all the outside noise, like, right now is the time to focus. You know, right now is the time to build the foundation and build the chemistry. And, of course, like Bobby always talks about, we're doing the work for the end in mind, you know, hopefully raising up the whatever we can, you know, doing whatever we should do. But, you know, none of that stuff happens unless you put in the work. So right now, you know, it's just building that foundation. Getting with the guys, you know, talking about certain routes, talking about things is just as important as running the route and running and blocking guys, you know, and it starts up front, to be honest, you know. So LT is the leader of that room, and he's been motivating those guys, and, you know, I'm the leader of the whole offense, so, you know, and really the team. So, you know, even the things that D'Amico has been saying has been everything just to, you know, build that foundation of fundamentals, doing the right things, the little things the right way.
You talked about how much of last year was a whirlwind for you. And when you look back at it now, the influence that your family and how much you had to lean on them, was it more than you expected, about as expected, less than you expected? And obviously the relationship you have with your mom and how that came into play during your first season.
Yeah, family, you know, I don't really ever think it's too much or too little, you know. I mean, it's kind of like how I grew up. I mean, I always have been with my family. I mean, they're my core family, you know. So I love my family. They've been there. They would be here even without football, you know. So I'm super blessed to have them and my mother, you know. They've been amazing. And, you know, my little dog Oreo has been kicking it with me last couple of days. He's a toy poodle. He's 19 years old. So he's an old dog. And he's been kicking it with me. And hopefully he'll have another 19 years. But yeah, man, family's everything. You know, it's been amazing to spend more time with them. I told my mom, I mean, this is the most I've ever spent time with my family since really like high school, you know, going to college, being in Ohio. I never really had that much time. So it's been amazing.
You played in talented wide receiver rooms before. How did your time in Ohio State with some of the guys you played with then kind of help you now as you're, you know, playing again with really talented guys who can really play make your way?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's football, you know. You want to be, even like as I talk to those guys and the guys I play with in college, like, it's not good to be the lone wolf, you know. You want to have a team that, not even a team, but a room, not only of dogs and guys that can make you better, but guys you can compete with, you know. Like, and it's all friendly and love, out of love, the competition that we're trying to build, you know. But like D'Amico always says, man, iron sharpens iron. And you know, for me, having that background of playing with so many talented guys, I think is amazing, you know. I always tell my guys, man, if you're open, you're going to get the ball. So, and I pride myself on sitting in the pocket and making sure that those guys can eat, you know. And it's up to me to make sure that those guys, you know, get what they deserve and get paid and all those good things that come with having a successful year. So I'm really excited for that. And it's been, you know, just the start of it right now. But, you know, having that background of it has been cool.
CJ,
She was going. I'll go with you.
What is your feeling about the Texans being named as having the first preseason game in at the Hall of Fame game during the time where Andre Johnson's being honored as the first Texan in the Hall of Fame?
That's a great question. I'm excited for Andre, man. Like, I'm super honored, you know, to get to know such a legend, you know, see how much of a good person he is and how down to earth he has been with me. You know, he's been in communication. He'll call me after games and call me before games, see how I'm feeling. He's really around all the time, and you know, it's just, it makes you feel good to see a good person get what they deserve, and you know, for us to be up there as a team and him be able to, you know, be around, and we're able to support him in that time, you know, super amazing. You know, hopefully a lot of us on this team will maybe have that honor one day, and you know, but he deserves it completely, and I'm just super happy to be, you know, just knowing him, you know, because I used to watch him as a kid, and so it's like night and day of like who you, like, he is who you would think he would be, but even just a better person, you know, so it's been really cool.
You and talk about the difference in how you feel this year as opposed to when you came in last year. I mean, you were always confident. Can you describe what's different after going through the whole NFL season and having the kind of season you had, how you feel now headed into year two?
Yeah, I'm feeling great, you know. You know, it's a lot of learning things that I went through last year, and it was really good to be with a lot of young guys. You know, we built that foundation, I felt, and now it's time to up it another scale. And for myself, you know, that's just first and foremost being a leader, and the second, you know, in my play. And you know, I'm excited to. I think I got a lot better these past couple weeks working with my guys out in LA. You know, now it's time to get better with my team and then go on and take every little step. And I think last year I wasn't able to do that much. I was meeting every team, going through offense after offense, and meeting a new coordinator, meet with a new head coach the next week, like, and then finally got here, and then, like, everything just ramped up. So now it's like I'm coming to the same offense, and, you know, I get to slow down and really, like, get better at what we're trying to get done this next year. So, you know, I'm very excited for that.
Story on the top 30 visits. What do you remember most about your top 30 visit to the Texans last year? What stood out most?
I remember the dudes that I came in with. I came in with Tajay Spears, and I'm blanking on my other guy's name. He plays guard for the Buccaneers. Went to North Dakota State.
Cody?
Yep, Cody. So me and Cody and Tajay was here, and it was really early in the morning they picked us up, and we were together really the whole day. And I remember Nick made me, like, well, he didn't make me, but no, it was actually DT. DT asked me to, like, explain, like, those two guys' personalities. So basically he was asking, like, was I paying attention to them? And I guess I did okay. but no, it was just cool to be around those guys. You know, they were from all different parts of the world. You know, I'm from SoCal. Tajay's from, I think he's from Alabama. And then Cody, I think, is from North Dakota. So, like, it was cool to be around other guys, you know, and seeing their journey. And that was really, like, the one thing. And then to be able to play both of them this year and be able to – I swapped jerseys with Tajay, and I got to talk to Cody. So that was the one thing that I remembered from this one. And just meeting with the coaches and stuff. It's kind of really, like, all broad, the same thing, what you do every team. But those guys really stood out to me.
Close with Cole and Sarge. CJ, you and Will kind of hit it off immediately last year when you guys got drafted together, and then you get to win both accolades as offensive and defensive rookie of the years. Can you talk about your relationship and how it's expanded past this, and how he pushes you to be better and lead this offense the way that you push him to lead the defense?
Yeah, I mean, last year we met before the draft, and we were like trying to, like, we were just kind of making fun of each other, like, hey, what have we got on the same team, you know, lo and behold, we did, you know, and it's been a blessing ever since. I thank God that I got to be teammates with Will Anderson, because I definitely don't want to play against him. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, we're just pushing one another. We sit next to each other in team meetings, and, you know, we're constantly talking about, like, how we can get this team better. And honestly, like, we talk about how we can get it closer. It's not all about just work. We're trying to build, you know, D'Amico always talks about the closest teams are the best teams. And, you know, for us, we're trying to build a close team and just do it in a natural light, in a natural way. So I thank God for Will, and his family's been amazing. His mom, his dad, his sisters have always been really nice to me and my family. So it's a blessing to be, you know, around somebody with just a good spirit and a good soul.
CJ, what do you think about the new uniforms?
I think they're cool. You know, I think they're definitely, I don't want to say too much, but I think people like them, and Really excited. I think that even brings a new, energy to, you know, NRG, which is kind of ironic. But, I think I'm super excited just to be wearing new stuff. I liked the unis last year, too, you know, but I think it's time for change. And, you know, it's a new era now, and we'll be able to build with these unis and look good while doing it.
CJ, I'm going to ask you to put your GM hat on. There's been a lot of questions about who should be the wide receiver one. Why should it be Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Why should it be Marv? Put on the tape. he's done it from really his freshman year, his true freshman year, to now. When you talk about, I read something like he's NFL ready, but other guys have more potential. That makes no sense. Like, what? Like, if you're NFL ready, how is that not potential? You know, like, you want longevity. You want somebody who's been doing it, you know. And for him, that's what he sleeps, eats, and he breathes. You know, he's a worldly talent, but also his work ethic and, you know, how he gravitates like that room. I challenged him that last year when Jackson went down, he had to take over as leader, and he did that, you know. He's not really vocal, but he became vocal, and you can see his personality start to come out as he started to play more. And, you know, for me, I mean, I think I would love to play with him again. I know I probably won't get that opportunity for a while, but, you know, I'm super, super proud of him. And, man, who's up there, man, be smart. Don't be dumb. Don't think too hard. All right,
there you go. That's C.J. Stroud, a little Marvin Harrison Jr. question there.
Yeah, a little extra
be smart,
plug.
Don't get dumb. We'll see that. We'll probably see that on the internet. Coming up, let's go around the NFL. Something C.J. Stroud said that has nothing to do with football that has me pretty jealous. We'll talk about that. We'll also go around the league. Teams that impact the Texans significantly. They're starting to make some moves and perhaps telegraph what they're going to do 10 days from now. Let's go around the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.